This is Corn.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Core. This is episode, 65 of Core with Scott Johnson, Bo Schwartz, and John Jagger. Doing it a little different today. Right there in the middle of the music, baby. Having it keep going in the background like some kind of radio station. Woo! All right. I'll stop doing that. Hi, everybody. I'm really stoked to be here. I don't know why I'm excited. Maybe because we're getting a big-ass patch. It's on the PTR today. It's going to be live next week. There's so much goodness in there. Tassadar and I are going to be hanging out once again, like we should have always been. Should have never left Tassadar behind. He and I are going to be real friends now, based on what I've seen. John's got a raging enthusiasm about a certain character coming to the Nexus very soon. In fact, let's just jump in. Valera. Old Valera.
We're already going down this road again.
Valera joins the fray, and John is losing his mind. John, why? We'll talk about her in a second and what she does, but why is it... I mean, we talked about it a little bit with our rumor talk last week, but why is it you're so excited about this new character?
Well, I think that if somebody came up to you and said, Scott, we have an idea for a Heroes of the Storm character.
Yeah.
Okay. And they said... it's going to be a hunter.
Ooh, I like that. Okay.
It's going to be an orc hunter.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have a tiger pet.
All right. So not Rexxar. We're talking about a very specific hunter that if you looked him up on Urban Dictionary, you'd see a definition for him. Cape, keep going. I'm listening.
Yep. And, you know, there was a, let's even go so far as to say there was a skin color variation that matched basically Gurp and Henry perfectly.
Oh my Lord. If that happened, I'd be so excited. I would be out of my mind, but you can't possibly be saying that you're getting your exact character from World of Warcraft in this game. You can't be.
Not exact, but it's pretty darn close. Valera is a Blood Elf rogue. I play a Blood Elf rogue, and the color variations, I guess is what you would call them, I can basically make her look like a hero's interpretation of my WoW character.
Oh my gosh. All right. That seems pretty exciting.
I'm pretty happy, and I tried her today, and oh my gosh. It is a rogue. It is a rogue from World of Warcraft. It feels very, very cool, and I love it. And yes, the chat room's pointing out what I said last week. Valera is a dirty traitor, and that's kind of true, but it was pointed out to me, and they're right, that the whole Alliance Varian bodyguard thing is kind of over, especially because Varian don't have a body anymore to guard. And now she's part of the Uncrowned, which my WoW character is the leader of. So it's all good.
Okay.
It's all good. We're all on the same side here now.
So clearly, go ahead, Bo.
Wait, is she a traitor because she's an Alliance person?
Yeah.
Well, she's not a traitor to me when I play Alliance. She's one of the good ones.
Right.
No, she's still, here's the funny thing. She's still a traitor, Bo, because Blood Elves are traitors. They're traitors to the Alliance. She's a double traitor.
Yeah.
She's a Blood Elf, which makes her a traitor to the Alliance, but then she's back on the Alliance side, which makes her a traitor to the Horde.
Yeah.
So technically, she's just a doubly bad person.
And
but enough about Valera. Let me tell you about my WoW character, who's now in this game and is fantastic to play.
All right, so Bo, I feel like it was a foregone conclusion that John would be excited, given his close proximity to a very like character that he plays in the game of World of Warcraft. How do you feel about a rogue being introduced? And then let's get into her kit. What does she do?
Well, okay. So she's a stealther. Yeah. So we speculated for a while. We complained even before we knew another stealther was coming to the game. What would another stealther do to this game? I hope they don't bring one in. Well, guess what? We're doing it. So that's her trait. Mm. She has this thing called Vanish. Mm. And she vanishes.
Does it make the sound, the stealth sound that you hear in World of Warcraft?
Sure does.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my Lord. Okay.
Totally
now I'm kind of excited. Anyway, keep going. Keep explaining.
I haven't tried it yet, although I'm sure John has, so you can speak more to this. But my sense is that it's kind of like Windwalk, except it's on her D. And you get extra movement speed. And I think, actually, you can pass through other units. kind of Dahaka style for a brief period at the beginning.
Okay.
Is that right, John?
Yeah, she basically, once you initially hit that stealth, she becomes unrevealable, much like Samaru. She can pass through units. She's 10% faster. Very useful, but it's only for like a second. And then after that, she kind of becomes on par with what you would picture with a Nova or a Zeratul.
Effectively, how long of a stealth does she have and what breaks it? Is it just like World of Warcraft where she can be infinitely in stealth? Can people detect her by proximity? Are any of those mechanics involved in the way that she works?
So I don't know about the Shimmer. That actually would be something I'd be curious about to see if people could see it. I would imagine she still gives a Shimmer, mm-hmm. but I've only done her in try mode, so I haven't been able to see what that looks like from the other side. Mm-hmm. But she is permanently stealthed until she decides to come out of it.
Okay.
Once she activates it.
All right.
So there's no cooldown, there's no timers, nothing like that. She's in stealth until she decides to break it, basically.
So she's Nova in that way. She's basically mm-hmm. always stealth, which I think Bo said earlier. So one of the things that jumps out at me here is this line in our notes that says she has 6 abilities. And having not played her yet, I have to know what the hell that means. 6 abilities across the board, or we got...
basic abilities.
Okay.
So your QWE.
Yeah.
She has 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, that's 6.
Plus the ability to talent into additional ones, I should add.
So wait a minute, though. Oh, I think
you can use the 1 through 3 keys on her as well.
Okay, so, but I mean, it's not like you start her and she has 1, 2, 3 and QWE all as active abilities.
No, so basically her bar changes whether she's stealthed or not.
Okay.
Her 3 core abilities change depending on what mode she's in. If she's in stealth mode, they're one thing. If she's visible, they're another thing.
Okay.
And when she attacks, it takes her out of stealth.
So she is like, in that one way, she's like, what's his name with him taking over a dead tower or a dead keep or his own keep?
Ragnaros.
Yeah.
It's just like that then. You get a whole new set while you're in that mode and then not when you're out of it. That makes sense to me. I just wanted some clarification. That's very interesting. Do we have another character that's like that? Not really. Other than Ragnaros.
Greymane is like
that. Oh, yeah. Greymane. Okay. Very good.
Except, no, but, well, the W is the same either way.
Oh, yeah. That's true. It is. Yeah. But still, it's
but it's not quite the same.
Sorry, Bo.
Yeah.
My bad.
So those are interesting. She also has combo points. Explain how those work, John.
So she has 3 combo points, which is a little different from World of Warcraft, where you have like 5 or 8, I guess, depending on talents. And all of her abilities, except for 1, generate combo points. And then 1 is a spender. So when you're stealthed, any of her 3 openers will generate a combo point. And then her Q and her W will also generate a combo point. And then her E will spend the combo points and do more damage based on how many combo points you have.
So you have 1 combo point, lowest damage, 3 combo points, highest, right?
Yep.
All right. And can she talent into something that'll let her have more combo points, or is that the cap for her in Heroes?
Nope, she's capped at 3. However, she can take abilities that change the amount of combo points she generates per ability.
Okay, interesting. Now, I have been a long time not enjoyer of the combo point system in MMOs. I don't like it. And I know a lot of people do, so this isn't me bashing them. I think you should like what you like. It's a rotation I never really liked. I also don't like rage, consequently. It's not something I enjoy very much. Why I don't play... who's got rage? Who generates rage? I can't
Warriors?
Think. Warriors. Yes, Warriors, but like in Heroes, I mean. I'm trying to get a good example.
Oh, Sonya.
Sonya's a... there you go. I do not like generating rage with Sonya, or I don't like doing it with her character class in Diablo itself. I'm just not a fan of that kind of resource management. That being said, what you're describing here sounds like a more... I don't want to say simplified, but this is going to be less of a pain in my ass by only having 3.
So she's got 2 things you have to manage.
Yeah.
And they're not that complicated. She has the combo points, which, you know, you just have to keep track of between 1 and 3, which is pretty easy to do. And then the other mechanic is she does not have mana, but she does have energy. So you cannot go in and just start spamming her abilities like crazy. You have to actually think about energy management. She's pretty short on cooldowns generally, so she can get a little spammy if she has the energy to do it, but you have to be careful because that's what you use to be able to use all your abilities. And it regenerates pretty fast, and you can talent into getting more energy quicker and things like that.
All right. We're going to be looking at her a little bit later when we play and on the PTR after the show. If you want to hang around and both watch and maybe participate in that, please do. People who are watching us live right now on the Twitch channel. And Bo, she's getting a master skin that actually adds clothes. Now, I don't know what world
it's a reverse
Li Ming.
Yeah. Reverse Li Ming.
How is that even possible at this point? Is it cool? I haven't seen it yet. Is it good?
Yeah, I actually dig the master skin quite a bit. I mean, the default skin is actually pretty good too. She just, everything about this hero is fairly well done. I think the launch skin is great. The Demon Hunter, I mean, Demon Hunters are pretty fun in World of Warcraft, so it's like you're getting that class. Mind you, it's Blood Elf, but so if you prefer Night Elf, sorry, but it still looks pretty cool. And the Master Skin adds clothing, so I just thought that was like it was a neat little detail. I'm sure they're aware of, you know, what they, so Li Ming has this identity, has this personality, and so Valyra, I guess they've done something a little different with. It looks cool.
Yeah. So John, do you approve more clothes on your lady?
I do, and it's actually funny because at her base level skin, which is the one where she's the most naked, so to speak, I want to play the one that looks like my WoW character, yeah, which is the third variation, and the third variation actually adds clothes as well.
Oh, weird.
So not only does her master skin add clothes, but the third color variation adds clothes, and then you don't, you're not running around as a naked elf.
Yep.
Which, you know, that might be a disappointment to some, but sometimes it's cold in the Nexus,
that's
right?
That's how I look at it. I just think Li Ming is confident in her crotch protection magic when she hits level 10. And so she's not worried. She doesn't need any armor there. She's fine. She just let it all hang out. All right. What else can we talk about her? Sinister Strike, Blade Fury, and Eviscerate. We want to go into detail as to what each one of those does. I know we kind of brushed over them.
Well, I think like what we'll do is, you know, it's on PTR, so it's there for everyone to test. We can come back next week or even the week after once we've played it and give some more elaborate thoughts on it. So those are just the names of the abilities. The two things we haven't talked about yet are the heroics.
Yeah, let's talk about those.
So she got a smoke bomb and Cloak of Shadows. And all I know about them, based on that pretty awesome in development video that they released this week, is that they look cool. They look cool. I'm not sure what's going on, but they look awesome.
All right. I'm into that. Overall, pretty excited, I guess. We're all sitting here pretty stoked about the idea of this character. Even I, and I don't like rogues, so I'm kind of the opposite of John coming into this, but I'll bet I come out a fan. I like what is being described here. Anyway, we'll look at her later today. And Bo and John, you have her already, right? Of course you do.
Not yet, but I've played her. Right. I haven't bought her yet.
Well, on PTR, we'll, they let you play her, right? She's available because you got to test her.
In try mode.
Yeah. Well, don't they want you to? I thought they had her as
Remember, you have to buy in advance. So they start like a pre-sale for the week that it's in PTR.
You're right.
So if you're enthusiastic about it, you can go spend some money and get her and play her now.
Yep. I think it's worth it. I think she's going to fill a very interesting role. This is speculation at this point, but the way her talents are designed, it feels like she's going to be a character that you take and you talent her in a way to say, you know, you look at the enemy team and you say, that Li Ming is going to cause us problems. I am going to build this Valyra very specifically to deal with that Li Ming and erase her from the team fight and then be there to support in a 5v4 situation. Her talents are very focused on what kind of character do you want to assassinate from the enemy team? And that's a really neat prospect.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Clearly an assassin, though, which, you know, we haven't had a lot of those lately. Oh, wait, that's all we've had. All right. Let's talk about Kent Eric Hagman. You know him as JR from the old 80s show Dallas. No, that's not correct. He says this. Well, he said some stuff on Reddit. Bo, I'm going to let you kind of take the reins on this. Reddit's a great place for this kind of stuff. So what did we learn from Kent Eric?
This is a fresh post that sort of came out of nowhere, but it's pretty cool. He told us all to F off about Warcraft assassins. Mm. Scott, you just complained about it 2 seconds ago. Not like we haven't got enough assassins. Yep. What's going on, Heroes of the Storm? just kidding. He actually didn't tell us to F off. It was actually very nice. I just, you know, I kind of looked at it as like, there's enough complaining about it that they felt that the development team, specifically Kent Eric, came out and decided to say a few words on it. Because the last five heroes, if you include Valyra as one of these, are from Warcraft and they are from Assassins. And we did a long talk last episode about how there's not enough supports. But there have been a lot of Warcraft Assassins. And so basically they've come out and acknowledged that this is the case, that when they're developing heroes internally, they don't really use the system we use. Fancy that, right? Mm-hmm. So we have assassin specialist, and we've talked at length about the different categories. The way they describe the last five Warcraft assassins are stealth three-card Monte assassin. That's Samuro.
It's a great classification.
Yeah, it really is. I love that.
Multi-class hero, so warrior, bruiser, dive assassin. Mm-hmm. Can you guys guess who that is?
That's going to be King Varian right there.
Yep. Bruiser with heavy map implications for 300.
Hold on. Who was that? Oh, that's Ragnaros.
Starts with an R.
Yeah, yep. Ragnaros.
Ragnaros. All right. Yep. A sustained ranged attacker.
That's your guy wants, if he asks if you want his axe, and he doesn't care if you do or not.
And an enemy carry disabler.
Oh, shit.
That's Valyra.
Oh, that's
Valyra. Oh, weird. She's the new one. I actually had not read that, and then that's exactly how I described her. So
yeah, well, it seems like she disappears into the back line and takes out a squishy, right?
I'm going to just enjoy my moment in the sun where I accurately called what the purpose of the hero was.
What we're doing is we've been assuming, I think, accurately that internally they've got all kinds of nuance to what an assassin is. It's way more than just, hey, I kill stuff and dudes. I have like all kinds of reasons to exist in the Nexus, and it depends on the current state of the game, the meta, the current loadout of characters and what they do to each other and what we need countered. Like, clearly that's an admission to this, which I think we all kind of thought they were doing anyway, but still probably better that we don't know that. I mean, we know that. I like to see it as far as how the sausage is made, but I don't need to go to the game and see, you know, three Monty assassin.
That'd be a great category.
You know, can you please sort by assassins? Three Monty assassins?
Three card Monty. Monty.
Oh,
Monty?
I guess him. All right.
Three Monty assassins.
So just continuing on with so basically the way they work on their side is they have a long development cycle. And so we just look at it as releases, but they've got to line up a work pipeline for all these things that are, you know, a year or 2 years. But he's come out and said he agrees that the release schedule wasn't the best of decisions, and it does impact those people who are less interested in Assassins or the Warcraft franchise. And so, he's promised, you know, that by the end of 2017, when we get to 2018, we'll look back on this year and feel like we've had greater hero diversity. So, So rest calm and easy, heroes community. They've noted your concerns and they're acknowledging it, which I think is a very big thing for a developer or anyone to do, really.
Yeah.
And they're gonna try and do better for next year. That they need to do better,
right?
Because the hero releases, I'm gonna interject my own editorialized opinion, is that they've all been awesome. Like, they've all been a lot of fun. We're kind of complaining about something small. I think, like, you know, if we say there's not enough supports being released is one thing, but I think, like, okay, there's a lot of Warcraft assassins, sure, but they've been really good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
No, they've been killing it. I feel like up to Zarya, there was a little bit of, you know, it's okay. Gul'dan, you're probably going to be better later, but you're okay. Like, there was this kind of this feeling through a few heroes, and they were getting patched right away, and it was kind of crazy town. Now we got a run of some of the best, most fun new characters the game's ever provided. So I'm with you 100%, and they'll get back around to it. And there are plenty of healers that will come out of the Warcraft franchise or otherwise. So I don't think it's like, you know, they're not running out of heroes. But I'll bet, and they don't say this here, but I'll bet if you looked at the raw player data, I bet we would not be surprised to find out maybe we talked about this before. Maybe it's an obvious thing that I'm saying, but I'll say it anyway. That there's a huge majority of players. I don't know what by what margin, but there's a majority of players who prefer playing Assassins over everything else. So they, in a way, are serving what most people want from the game. Doesn't necessarily mean it's the most healthy thing at any given time, because we do need healers, we need support. But the diversity of these Assassins have been really interesting, to the point that we've been able to make interesting other choices for support in games we've played that we wouldn't have otherwise made. We might make a safe choice and just pick Morales every time, but we've been able to branch out a bit because there's some stuff, say, Varian does that really mitigates the game and changes the way, especially the 10 through 20 game goes. And I'm fine with that. Like, I don't have, as much as we talked about it being a thing, I am not that worked up about it, nor did I think that we're never going to see a healer again. Of course we freaking are. The question is when. So here's my prediction. The next healer or the next character will be a healer. I know they didn't say that, but I'll bet you it is. And I don't know why. I got nothing to base it on. I don't even know if it'll be a Warcraft character, but I'll bet we get a support character next time around. If not, like, full-on healer style, some sort of support character, which we haven't had since Oriel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oriel's the last one. Although, teaser for a little bit later today, there's a Tacitar rework.
I'm so
a
excited.
Big one.
So
a
excited.
Big one.
That's what we'll I'm playing tonight. I don't care about you guys. You play whatever dumb assassins you want. I want to play him.
The last little thing, too, to mention on this, and John hasn't had anything to say, so, of course, John, feel free to jump in. But he also addressed the force, the so many stealthers in the game thing, that they're very sure that they've done a lot of playtesting on Valyra to make sure she fills a more specific role and that it won't feel like another Zeratul or another Nova. Mm. So hopefully we don't see the Samuro Valyra Nova Zeratul match, mirror match and quick matches all that often. I'm sure there'll be some.
You know you're going to, because players are dorks, and they're going to go, oh, dude, what if we did that? And they're going to make everyone's life miserable, or that'll be really easily counterable, and then they'll never try it again. But, John, what do you think? Because you don't love it necessarily when there's a lot of stealth and heroes. So how do you stand on now there's, what, four now? We went from one to four in, like, no time.
Yeah. Well, I like Valyra a lot, so I'm not going to be down on it. As much as I might want to, because, you know, it's never fun to be standing there and all of a sudden you get erased. You know, that's a challenging position to be in. But I really like the idea of what Valyra brings to the game. And I'm really curious to see how she shakes things up, because I think the ways you will need to counter her are going to be very interesting and require picks that are a little less conventional for some of our current heroes. So I'm excited for it because I think she's going to be a very relevant hero in the game. And I think she's going to have a cool place. And I think when people play her well, it's going to be very impressive and very fun to watch. Yeah. So I'm all for it. And as far as this, you know, I think he kind of nailed, Kent Eric nailed my thoughts on it exactly, is that I didn't feel like we were getting inundated with Warcraft warriors. I felt like we were getting some really cool heroes. It doesn't address the fact that we do need more support, but as long as we're getting cool heroes, I'm pretty stoked to see what we're getting. So yeah. I'm very excited for Valyra, and I'm very excited to see what comes next.
Sounds like traitor talk to me.
It probably is. I mean, it's in my blood now. Now it's in my blood. I played her today, and now it's just taken hold.
In case
we've been working for Traitor Minister Tagomi, the man in the high castle.
Oh my
He's
gosh.
Got to you.
That show is so good. All right. So I did want to say one quick thing that I think we mentioned it last week, but it bears mentioning if you're listening to the show and you're not exactly up on who she is. For some reference, she is the rogue character that you use in Hearthstone when you choose that character class to play in that game. So if you're wondering who we're looking at here, that's her. And if that's all you know about her, don't worry too much, because that's kind of all I knew about her. I really didn't have that much in my head about her lore, her background, any of it. I think it was this show where I learned about her traitorous ways last week. So don't feel bad if you don't, but she's pretty badass. And there will come a day, I'm pretty convinced, that every single character and alt skin available in Hearthstone will eventually be a Heroes of the Storm playable character. Not on purpose or not because they want to make sure Hearthstone's well represented, but just they'll eventually get to him. We'll end up with Grom or Gary Hellscream. We'll end up with his dad, Grom. We'll end up with just a, well, I guess he's not in Hearthstone, but we'll end up with all those guys, right? We got Rexxar, Valyria. Who else? Jaina,
Uther,
Thrall, Uther. Who's left?
Do we have all the Hearthstone characters now?
We can't, can we?
Well, are you counting the extra art, right?
Well,
there's Khadgar.
Oh, yeah, Khadgar. Because
we don't have Garrosh, but we do have sort of Magni.
We have a Magni skin.
Oh. We have a Magni skin, yeah. For Muradin.
Yeah.
This reminds me, actually, something that I meant to bring up. I didn't even put it in the notes or anything. One of the teasers for Valyria had a silhouette of an orc that she backstabbed through, and then it revealed her, but the orc remained in the silhouette. Mm. And there were some theories going around that orc might be a tease for later.
He looks like Grom Hellscream, his ponytail.
Yeah.
Because if it's Garrosh, then he doesn't have a ponytail, as far as I know, right?
No, he's a no hair.
Yeah.
Well, and I know this is gonna make WoW fans kind of angry to say this, but if we get Grom, we could probably get by with a Garrosh skin, and if we get Garrosh, we could probably get by with a Grom skin.
Totally agree.
I don't know if they need to be separate characters. Now I know, just because they both carried the same axe and are both warriors, they went down different paths. It's fine, but I don't know if we need both of them.
I kind of agree. Yeah, that's a weird distinction to make. They're kind of the same class. Like, I suppose I'm trying to think of another example of this. They did such a good thing with Thrall, you know, making him an assassin and making Rhaegar a healer, even though those two are kind of cut from the same cloth. They're both shaman. So you can you can purpose something from the characters and from the lore to make it work in multiple class types, I think, in the game. But I think I'm with you on this one. And if I'm picking one of the two, I feel like the more iconic one is Garrosh, and I would probably prefer him. As much as Grom has an important role in that game, Garrosh has this really important sort of end game thing happening in more recent years, and he's responsible for a lot of messes, and I think he'd be a lot more fun. To me, it would be almost like saying, well, we could do Diablo or Mephisto. Which way do you want to go? Well, you're going to go Diablo, right? So for me, it's maybe not the best example, but you know what I mean. Like,
I just got the best idea for Garrosh's ultimate skin.
What do you got?
You ready?
Yep.
Remember when you met him in Warlords of Draenor and he was covered in bloody band-aids?
Yeah.
That.
All right, you like that, Bo? That sounds all right.
I wasn't there for that. I played Alliance.
Oh my good lord!
My female dwarf warrior wasn't having none of that horde crap.
Nope,
we were busy in Draenei Land, whatever that place was called, Shadowmoon Valley,
hanging out in the snow
or something.
Yeah, no, I recall that as well. That would be a pretty awesome skin. But you know, he's in the works. He has to be. But the problem is, do we need another warrior like him? See, I don't know. It's going to be tricky, man. Maybe he's not a warrior. Wouldn't it be funny if he was the next healer? Garrosh did some kind of like...
That's not happening.
He's going to send out one of his big cannonball things and it heals everybody or something.
He takes off his band-aids and sticks them on you.
Yeah, I'm in.
There you go.
Times change, he'll say. And then
he'll
change the time.
And he pets a deer and sails away.
Oh, that'd be a brilliant move by them. I would support it. Yes, Bo.
I want to say, if anyone still didn't know who Valyria was, I also think she might be the most amply breasted of the women in Warcraft as well.
Wow, really?
Because of the Hearthstone thing?
Mm. Well, there's her trivia picture for you.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate that.
I'm sure they put that on the back of her tops playing card.
The biggest chest in all of Warcraft.
Maybe GIL, folks.
All right, there you go. They were enhanced by a dark magic, and she's a mana addict, and there you have it. All right, let's move on. Hey, look at this, everybody. PTR patch notes. Let's look at these highlights. I am really, really excited about Tassadar. So I think we should talk about him real quick. and then we'll talk about Lunar Festival and that other stuff. So Tassadar rework. Cool updates to all abilities. That would be enough for many of you. But let's get into the details. His Q, Distortion Ray, talent baked into the auto attacks, meaning it's channeling and slowing enemies by 20%. This is an auto pick for everyone who plays that character. And I think I'm on to Blizzard now. This is what they do. They'll have a character that if they always have a thing picked, no matter what the other two or three choices are, and they always go with that one talent, eventually that thing gets baked in. And I know I'm saying that like it's a revelation and everyone already knows this. But to me, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. And I can feel myself doing this with like Jaina. I have certain things I do with other characters where it's like every major build, every net build you see, they've always got certain picks for certain talents. And I just know those are going to get baked in at some point. So Distortion Ray, it's now part of the build. Enjoy that. But, yeah, go ahead, Bo.
There's more. Yeah. So the basic attack damage has been reduced from 69 to 10, right? Because he's got Distortion Ray in it. But the speed of the attack has been increased by 400%. So it's going to be like a pew, 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 pew kind of damage as well. It's going to be really fun to shoot. So there's that too.
That's going to be really fun to go back and capture out of the audio today as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I like to do that to you. So, all right. So that seems all right. But what's the net effect there, though? If it's going from 69 to 10 as basic attack, that seems crappy. But if the attack speeds up by 400, what's the net gain? Is there a gain or is it about equal?
So basically, if one basic attack takes a second to resolve, it's 69. And the new style is 1 second at 400 speed. Like you do 10, but at four times the speed. That seems in my brain to mean 40 versus 69. So I believe it's a DPS nerf.
But you're also
You get a slow. So
there's
you're not picking Tassadar to do tons of damage anyway. So I think this will be fine.
Yeah, that's like a support. It may be a damage nerf, but it's a support buff as far as I'm concerned. So that's good.
I kind of messed this up in the note a little bit because it's written in here. This is for auto attack. But you know, on the shield, you get the lifesteal talent.
Yeah.
That's the next one. That's the next big thing. You get lifesteal baked into your shield.
Really?
Yep, on the queue. Well, I messed it up writing here. So,
well, let me ask you, and maybe I misread it, but I was under the impression that it's slightly different from what it was before. So correct me if I'm wrong, Bo. I thought that the way the lifesteal on the shield currently works is part of the damage you take while shielded is transferred to health. And the way I read it in the patch notes was you gain lifesteal on your attacks when shielded. Maybe I misread that.
That's how it works now. It's lifesteal based on your damage, and it was like that previously.
Oh, okay.
I think the talent was called Plasma Shield, which you'd update your or something like that.
No, that's right. It was Plasma Shield. Yep.
Yeah. So the upgrade would make it lifesteal, like how Bloodlust works.
Mm.
Except now it's default in your talent. I don't know what the percentage is. That's what I'm just sort of looking up. It's 20% lifesteal. Okay. So if you basic attack for 100, you will get 20 health back.
All right. That seems all right then. That seems like a good sustain thing. All right. What else? Psionic Storm, one of my favorite things in the game, the entire game. I don't know why, I just like it. Has increasing damage. Does that mean the longer you stand in my poop, the more damage you take?
Yes. That's right.
Oh. So no flat percentage.
It did bring the damage down, though.
Oh, it did. To what horrible level should I be upset about?
55 to 42.
Okay.
At level 1, presumably.
So. All right. Damn it.
Yep. But it's going to do increasing damage. So if they stay in it for at least two pings, it's doing more damage than it would have before.
That's true. You get a couple of clicks out of it. Okay. Yeah. I'm down with that. I need that to be strong still because that's my favorite thing about him. I mean, honestly, you can build him to be a pretty fun support and do a lot of good for the team that isn't about damage at all. But that's your one thing where you feel like a badass, especially when you get the repeated one later on and you get the second charge. Oh, man, that feels so good. He's great. And he talks like this.
So, I don't know you.
I don't know you. Dimensional Shift. This is the escape unit deal. His movement speed is +25 baked in now. So this is Dimensional Shift. Was that the name of the talent or the actual ability?
Oh, that's the name of the ability. I can't remember what the talent's called, but there was a talent that would increase your move speed while you shifted.
Yeah.
Now it's just by default you get increased move speed.
Pretty sure that was on one of the picks where I never picked it because something was better. So I'm really happy to hear that that's baked in. Archon, this is your first heroic. Resets dimensional shift. Allows basic attacks to slow more. Level 20 Archon allows basic attacks to refresh duration of Archon. Ooh, really?
So it means, in theory, I think, if as long as you're auto-attacking, you have permanent Archon. Yeah, right? Right? Isn't that the best thing you've heard in 2017?
Suddenly I care about Archon more than I used to, suddenly.
That sound Scott just made was a wonderful thing. That's the sound of joy, ladies and gentlemen. The sound of joy.
I love him. I owe John a little bit for this because when we were playing, or when I first started dabbling with various support characters, John was really, really into Tassadar. It was very early in our kind of heroes playtime before the show started. And I remember thinking, that guy's lame. I'm not playing him. And after watching you do what you do, I was convinced that I should try him, and he ended up being... He's still one of my favorite characters in the game, so I'm so excited about these changes. Force Wall, increased at level 10. Or range increase, rather, sorry. Gives passive slow increase of 10% to auto attacks, and level 20 reduced cooldown by 50%. Jeez. Increased range by 100%, so double what you were doing before. Well, that makes me want to do Force Wall still, though.
So, Force Wall was awkward at level 10 because it was cool, but you had to be really close, right? Now, with the extra speed on your E, you're going to be able to motor into position. Mm-hmm. And with the extra bit of range, you're going to be able to close off the escape much more easy. It's going to be better to use. I mean, I haven't tried it yet, but it sounds like it's going to be easier to screw over an enemy. And I like the sound of it so much.
I'm stoked about Force Wall. I'm stoked about all of it. It all looks really great. All right, so let's talk about some of the rest of these talents of note. There's a level 1 new talent called Templar's Will. Explain that one to me. It's a passive.
All right, so there's two new questing talents at level 1. The first one's when you attack a hero, it restores 4 mana per second. And because it's a ray now, as long as you're shooting that beam, you're restoring mana. And so we love restoring mana here on Core. So if you do it for 30 seconds, you increase your basic attack range by 20%. You do it for 60 seconds, you get 40% increased range on your attack.
Wow.
It's huge. I don't know what the range is now currently on it, but it's probably a pretty big increase. So that sounds like fun. Sounds the other awesome. One's called Kedaran Resonance. And so basically all this does is regeneration globes grant an additional 50% mana. Sounds boring, but this is a bow talent because at 20 globes, you'll get 50% of the plasma shield stays after expiration, which used to be like a level 7 talent, I think. Mm-hmm. And after 40 globes, your plasma shield has no duration. So you can just cast them and they just stay on people.
Oh my gosh.
At full strength and everything. The previous talent that it used to be was... they'd retain 50 indefinitely percent.
Yeah.
Now they retain the whole value.
Which was another auto pick. So this is a way of getting that without having to pick it later.
And we'll never see Bo again.
Yeah, we'll never see you
again. We'll just be gathering globes.
40 globes. That's a lot. I'll be busy. I'm busy, guys.
He's going to be busy all game. You thought you want me for team support, fight? But nope.
If you want me for team fight, you got to book an appointment with my secretary.
Yeah. What's her name? Gladys? Janice? What's her name?
It's Execrodar. I don't know what Protoss name is.
You have a 2 o'clock. Are you going to lunch, sir? Yes. Oh, I love the idea of a whole office full of Tassadar talking people. I love that idea. You get a new talent at level 13. This is called Nullification. It's an active talent, which means you will likely have it assigned to number 1. Activate to reduce targets' hero damage by 75% for 3 seconds. It's basically a vulnerable sort of thing. That's huge.
But for damage, it'll reduce your damage. So if an auto attacker is going nuts, like Raynor comes in, 75% is gigantic.
Yeah.
If he's hitting for 200 or 300, that's like less than a hunt. Like, I don't know, whatever. Let's say it's 300. Half is 150. So 75 per auto attack instead of 300 per auto attack. That's a huge discount.
He's basically Morales for 3 seconds with damage.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. And keep in mind, you know, folks listening, we're not going through all the talents, just the big ones that seem really cool. So
big changes across the board, though.
You can choose between that or another new talent at that level, a Dune's Wisdom.
A Dune. While Oracle is active, your basic abilities cool down 50% faster. And I like this because I feel like half the time when I play a Tassadar, and maybe this is, says more about me than other, you know, than the real problem, but sometimes you just forget to hit your D. Because if you're not playing a stealthy team or whatever, there are other advantages to doing it. That kind of vision is good no matter what you're doing. But sometimes you get lazy with it and you're not hitting your D very often. This will be very encouraging to hit my D.
Well, let's talk about your D for a minute, Scott.
All right, tell me about my D.
Let me tell you about how your D is now free.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't cost mana to hit your D anymore.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, another reason to hit my D.
It is now a free thing. It is less the range of it, of what it'll reveal, is lessened, but it is now free. So you can spam that thing to your heart's content.
Is the cooldown the same as it is now, currently?
I think it's a faster cooldown, too.
Okay.
I think it's down to 30 seconds. Mm.
Yes, Bo.
No, yes, down to 30 seconds. But there's no longer the talent to make it. I don't think there's the talent to reduce the cooldown. Mm. I didn't see that. I was just going to make another dad joke and say, is this piece of news is delicious?
Oh, very well done.
Because we're hitting our Ds.
It's all in preparation for when Bo finds out he has that kid from that one time back in Reno, and then he has to have the dad jokes ready. I totally get it. let's talk about Focused Beam. This is a trait at level 16, or this is a talent that affects your trait. While Oracle is active, your basic attacks deal an additional 1% of an enemy hero's maximum health.
He's got a baby giant killer.
Oh, yeah, that is kind of what that is.
So you press D, and then all of a sudden, you're doing super powered. I hope there's a new color to the beam or something to let you know. It's basically the same thing as what Tychus has, but it's on a higher cooldown because Oracle probably has a higher cooldown.
Well, hold on, Bo. When does it stop becoming a reveal and a vision technique and starts becoming an aura or something? Because that's what this sounds like.
Yeah. It's basically taking Oracle, and I think there's an Oracle build in here, although we still have to figure that out, where hitting your D is more than just, let me just press D because revealing's the thing I do. Because like you said, there are times when you forget to use it because it's not that critical.
Right.
So it feels like your talent sucks because you're just like, whatever, reveal. Mm-hmm. So this is a way to make your D proactive.
You could have said there were no new talents that affected the D, and I'd still be excited about how it's baked now.
Yeah, or Tassadar's got a talented D.
Yeah, his D. Legendary D. Legendary D.
Have we done enough of these?
We probably have.
I don't know what everybody's getting all up in arms about. I just keep thinking you're talking about defense.
Yeah, defense. It's all defense. Go defense. All right, level 20, you get a new talent, Shield Battery. It's an active talent, which means you got to activate it. You activate to grant a nearby allies a base version plasma shield. What? Right?
Yeah. So everybody around you gets the Q.
So you get a simultaneous Q, which means no Q cooldown to give it to all five of you or four of you, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Love that. I don't know if I'm taking it yet. A lot of times these things look good until I see the actual lineup and I go, oh, this other thing's better. Anyway, level 20 new talent, Prismatic Link. This is a small elfin-like character that's trying to get Zelda back to the castle. Dad joke, see? I got him too, right here.
Well done.
Basic attacks can now bounce to nearby enemy targets for 50% damage. So there you go. So your beam, I guess, will be bouncing around.
Yeah, your beam is going to be shooting everywhere.
I wonder how that's going to look. Is that going
to
look cool?
I don't know. I'm excited to find out in like an hour or 30 minutes or however long is left on the show.
I better know how it's going to look. It's going to look the way a wizard's runed ability. What's that one, John? Crap.
I'm sorry. I'm caught on the fact that you're using a wizard as an example as if it's a life experience that we all see. I was walking to get groceries yesterday and there was just a wizard casting his runed thing. I bet that's what Tassadar's phase beam
looks like. A shit wizard. I should have been more, I should have explained. Like in Diablo, there are ways to do this so that your stuff jumps around and those are similar looking beams. So I'll bet it's like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Disintegrate, I think, has a thing.
Yeah, disintegrate.
Plasma, little tentacles come out and shoot other guys.
Yeah, I'll bet that's how this goes. Which sounds good to me. I'm on with that. Sure. Down with that. All right, that's pretty much it for him. We'll get to Rexxar in a second. Let's not skip over, though, the Lunar Festival. It's coming.
And there's a daily quest. You win a race, you get 200 gold. Tell me about the race. What do I have to do? That sounds terrible.
I think you got to collect different items at the... that somebody asks for. I know this is not very informative, but I read it, but I sort of, there's so much awesome stuff in here that kind of was like, yeah, I got to pick up things.
I assume it's like a pre-match thing where I get out on the Nexus and some, I got to chase around something.
Here it is. Collect the required items and return them to the rooster to advance his position. Return 4 items before the time runs out to complete the rooster race.
Okay.
So it's a turn-in quest. You got to do 4 turn-ins.
And the rooster ends up being a mount at the end of all this? Right.
If you get if you complete the quest 25 times, you'll get for free that awesome rooster mount that people have been seeing in the in development video this week, and you get a rooster portrait.
Do they call it a rooster in this game, or do they call it a cock?
I was wondering who was going to be the first to do that. Oh,
I'm just throwing it out. I don't know.
Of course, it was Scott, and they call it a rooster, but you can call it what you like.
Okay.
All right. I mean. If you like the basic cock that you're gonna get from completing the quest, you can pay 10,000 gold and get yourself a golden cock.
Can you really?
There is a gold cock for 10,000 gold. I am so buying this. I do not care.
Oh, I will too.
I am getting this thing.
I've been saving up, and I have like 30K. I can totally do this. So yeah, I want a golden.
The great thing about this chocobo style thing is that he doesn't look cute. He actually looks kind of like a jerk.
He's menacing.
The look on this face is kind of like, I don't, it's just hard to explain, but I
he
love
looks
the look
like
of it.
He knows what you're calling him and he is not amused.
Yeah, he's super menacing. I like that a lot about this particular golden cock. You also
said.
I can't help it. 2017 Lunar Festival skins. You can get the Li Ming Xuing, the Monkey King Xuing harder. These are already in the game, though, right? These are the ones from last year. So you can get those again.
No. These are new skins.
Oh, these are new?
Are new lunar skins. Yeah. So,
and Scott, why aren't you more excited? They put a skin in the game for you.
The Monkey King skin? Who's wearing it, though?
Samuro.
Shit.
So if you didn't see the in development video,
I missed it. On there. I was so busy today.
Listeners,
I haven't seen it yet.
Run, stop listening to this podcast. You double click the home button, pan over to your YouTube app, go to the in development video, watch it right away. There is a Monkey King skin for Samuro, and instead of a blade, he has a bow, like he has me, but in stick form. And it's incredible, and he looks like a monkey man, and that's also incredible, which is why it's we swing.
Does when he's when Chen sees him, does he go the monkey and dies? He said the Monkey King blew me away or no?
I hope so. Right. I definitely hope so.
Oh my gosh.
The Lunar Li Ming skin is probably the best Li Ming skin there has been. And they even it's so detailed, this thing. Her face, you know how she always kind of looks like pretty arrogant? Like she has a pretty arrogant
pretty
look
arrogant,
to her face,
yeah.
right? Like and she's got just a kind of like a hard look to her. So they really softened her up. She actually looks like she's at the Lunar Festival having a good time. Huh. It's kind of uncanny. Like she looks like an almost different person.
Well, who am I thinking they got a Lunar Festival thing last year? Was it Jaina?
Artanis did, and
Jaina's out.
It was Jaina. It might have been Jaina.
Yeah, because it was Chen and Lili the first go round, and then it was Artanis, Jaina last year.
Illidan has one last year too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Actually, the Artanis one came late, but it's Lunar Festival style.
I don't know why this Monkey King slip. Well, I know what happened. Usually, I have time on Tuesday to check out the in development videos before we do the show, and I didn't today. Things were crazy, and. Now I'm really sad because that Monkey King sounds like I'm ready. My body is ready for the Monkey King.
it might be the best skin they've released. I mean, I want to see it in game, but it looks incredible in the video.
Well, I love Samuro, so I'm ready for more of him. Rexxar talent update. Let's talk about this. It's not really a full rework the way Tassadar is getting his. It's more of an update, Tassadar would say. So his trait, D, Misha now is controllable with one button instead of two. Now, having never really played Rexxar, I don't even think once. Yeah. I've never played Rexxar. How did it work before and how does it work now?
So it used to work where your D would toggle between passive and aggressive, as you know, from Warcraft, right? Uh-huh. And then the one would be where you'd was called Misha Fixate, and you tell it to either target something. If you clicked a unit, it would go and attack it, or you could click it on the ground, it would go and stand sentinel in that area. And I think it would, if you were on aggressive, it would attack things. If you were on passive, I think it might have just stayed there. Okay. It's been a while since I played him too. So there was the D button and the one button. They didn't like the two button functionality, so they've baked it all together so that you just have to press the D button to get Misha to do things. So, and it sounds to me like they've improved her AI. Like it's still Misha Fixate on the D. It's very hard to imagine based on their explanation. You're going to have to try it out in game, essentially. But they just wanted to simplify the control scheme for people who aren't as good with Misha, and they think they've come to a solution where you can still have high level play with her, but yet newer players aren't confused about playing her. So
I'm really excited about this because I struggled with this. I will admit I was bad at controlling Misha, and part of what made me bad at controlling Misha is I didn't take the time to either A, ask Bo, as Scott just did, how does Misha work, or B, read up on it and investigate it myself. And so I thought Misha controlled basically the way they have now switched it to, and I just didn't know what the buttons were all for. So I'm excited about this because now she's going to control the way I always assumed.
It does feel a little more intuitive, doesn't it? Like you can approach this character and just kind of know that, oh, this is the button for when I attack stuff, and I only need to know that, and I don't have to have some some other stuff. He's a challenge, though, so I'm impressed that they pulled him off at all, to be honest. What else? Let's see. I'm looking at the wrong one. All right, how about this one? Flare. Reveal duration is now 20 seconds, up from 5. Boy, that's I'd call that a buff to a number.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, Flare kind of sucks compared to a lot of the reveal stuff, especially with Scouting Drone being able to just sit there and reveal. So this is, I think, needed. Yeah,
you'll note between Tassadar and Rexxar, there are some new ways to reveal stealth heroes, almost as if a new stealth hero is coming to the game and potentially making an impact if not revealed.
Weird. Yeah, very weird. Also, there's a new talent called Animal Husbandry.
That's a civilization...
It is
skill as well.
It's also something I studied. I had a course in animal husbandry in college, and it was all about how to get horses to do it. That was pretty much it.
That's a great class.
Cows and horses. How do we get these cows to do it more? That was basically the class.
So when I pick this talent, will Sean Bean come out and say an inspirational quote at me?
He'll say, "One does not simply make horses do it." So that's the thing. Anyway, Rexxar and Misha gain 2 maximum health every second Rexxar remains alive. These bonuses are lost on Rexxar's death. So that seems like a cool build-up thing over time. Although now people are going to be pissed if they die and blame it on the healer. Anyway, at level 13, you get a new talent called Dire Beast. Rexxar and Misha's basic attacks increase the damage of the next Misha charge by 40%, and that stacks up to 400% bonus. So that seems pretty good. And John, you were saying in our Slack earlier that Rexxar looked really, these changes looked really interesting to you.
Yeah, I kind of bounced off him because I struggled with controlling Misha. And so with this change, I think he's more appealing to give a try to.
One cannot simply control Misha.
Although a talent called Animal Husbandry and why it gives both of them health. There's a connection there that I'm not seeing, and it's
because it's the longer they mate, the healthier their relationship
is. He just like forcing his animals to get married, and he puts on like a little hat and performs ceremonies.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right.
Well, Misha's not going to live as long as Rexxar. So in theory, Rexxar has to be thinking somewhere that he's got to find, make Misha have offspring.
There are many Mishas.
Yeah, but only
mini
this
Mishas,
is mine.
Exactly.
Hey, I got a question about that. Is it true that bears don't live as long as humans? I don't even know if that's true. Is that true?
I assume almost all animals don't live as long as humans.
Sounds like the truth.
Because I have a turtle. I don't have a turtle. My friend has a turtle. He likes turtles. And it's supposed to live to be like 150. So that'll outlive people, potentially.
So...
But I don't know. But I just don't know about bears. I'm just curious what average life is.
I asked Google. Yeah. They live until they're late. Bears can die when they're less than 1 year old or live all the way to the late 30s.
Oh, late 30s. All right. That's not bad.
Yeah.
So wait a minute.
Like
they can. Hold on. It gave you. It can live until they're less than 1 year old as a statistic. Isn't that true for everything?
You can take it up with whoever made the page at reference.com. Okay.
Maybe it's
that's the first result that came up.
Because flies only live like a day. I realize this is off topic, chat room, but hold. Just live with us here for a second. Flies live like a day, right? They get pupated or whatever, and then they go sit on some poo, and then they die. Right?
Sounds like my life.
So it's like one day. So I get that there might be a between 1 year, but it does seem stupid. I'm with John, actually, now that I think about it. It's dumb.
Sometimes bears die before they even turn one. Thanks.
Some of them are stillborn. Can you believe it? Like, yeah, no, this is animals. Welcome to the mammal kingdom.
Nature is a cruel world. Many creatures don't live for very long. Thank you.
Here we see the bear who only lived a year. There you go. That's my Planet Earth voice. Hey, let's move on to the next thing that we have. Oh, there's a PSA here. Samuro clones no longer count towards CDR on Rainer's a card to play. I thought they fixed that already, but I guess not. That's part of this patch.
No, this one got fixed. Rainer's other bugs got fixed last patch.
Okay.
So now this other thing got fixed, and who knows?
But it's only fixed in the PTR, right? PTR only fix, right?
Yeah, the PTR patch, and so you'll see it in game in a week.
All right. So, I still think that is the
play all the cards you can. You only have a week to do so.
So lame. The CG website. We did it again. Gosh dang it! I can't say HGC.
No, I put it.
Bo messed it up.
Yeah, HGC website relaunched. Oh, now my brain's really not working.
he wrote it both ways.
Yeah. We have the schedule for the Pro League. So here's the new website. It's heroesofthestorm.com/esports/en for the English site. You probably just go to heroesofthestorm.com/esports and it'll auto-direct depending on where you live. And it's coming up now for me. It's real slow. I don't know why. Why is it so slow? Is it slow for you guys? Slow for me.
It takes a moment to load up, but once it's loaded up, it's pretty good. And this site is very swanky. Mm. There's a little thing on the top right that says when they're live. There is a whole schedule on the schedule page showing where we are and what's kind of a complicated system. I don't know if you're seeing it yet.
I am, finally. Yeah, it is a little complicated looking.
Yeah, but it's a sports site, right? If you ever go I don't know, bleacherreport.com and look at the site and just like, what's going on here? Yeah, and they have stats and
yeah, it's crazy.
You know, it's just stuff sports fans like. So I feel like this kind of does service somebody who wants details about statistics about games and also standings and replays, like VOD replays. So if you miss the live streams, there's still a place where you can go and get all your content. It's like having an NHL channel on your cable package, except it's a website and you can tune into all of the pro level games and the open tournament games that are broadcasted as well.
All right. I'm excited about these. I'm going to follow this like a hawk this year. I can't wait.
Love this site. It answers a lot of the problems I had with the previous ones, which was, I don't know who's playing when, and I don't know what teams are against who, and I don't know what teams are in which region. And that's making me sound extra dumb, and I know when I'm doing it on purpose, but I mean, like, it was very difficult to dive in and find all of that. Like, you really had to dig. This puts it all there, and hey, you can opt in on showing scores or not, so if you don't want spoilers, you can hide them from yourself.
Oh, where's that button?
Down. When you look at recent match VODs, there's a show scores button.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
And then you can opt into always show scores or not.
Also, you have a countdown timer for when they have live games. So this current one says live in 2 days, 14 hours and 57 minutes until you get to see the next whatever they're showing. Also, in the standings, they have the North American standings, which are currently just the teams that are in it. That's Temple Storm, B-Step, Gale Force Esports, Team Niventic, Team Freedom, No Tomorrow, Superstars, and Teammate. And EU, I'm not going to read them all, but the EU's up there. Their open division is done in the EU, so those names are in. What's this? Oh, the Korean Super League is not there yet. No standings yet. China, same thing. So in North America, no open division placements yet, but I'm really excited to see what individuals get into the open division. And yeah, John, Bo, have you ever been tempted to just click on a little sign up button right there? Just click that and say, I want to be open division man.
Yeah. Definitely tempted, and definitely not off the table. I think it's just I need to carve out some time for it. But yes,
just click it, yes. Bo. Click it. It's just like when you guys make me buy a skin. Just click the button, Bo.
Sign up, Bo.
Sign up. It'll be fine.
Do it.
I don't have my team yet.
We'll root for you.
Exactly.
maybe we should just sign up.
Oh well,
just three of us. Yeah, we'll find two other people.
We'll go real far. I'm 100%
sure. We'll start with GM1 and see if they're available for a team and work our way down the Grandmaster list. The three of us are forming a team and you seem like a good player. Would you like to join our team and see what happens?
I'm sure it'll
go
well.
We need a carry.
The brawl this week. the brawl currently on the PTR is Punisher Arena. Is it also? It's not on the live one. That happens Thursday, right?
Oh, it's live Punisher
Arena.
No,
that's the live Punisher.
Oh, well,
it's our
also
first repeat.
That's also on the PTR, so they have nothing new on the PTR. I just noticed that earlier tonight. Okay. Fountains are invincible. That was a change. And second time around, who's already done it? But probably both of you.
I've only done one game. I haven't done all three yet, but it's still fun. It's still my favorite arena they've done. So
yeah. Do you think it's any? I mean, Bo, you played all three. Did you feel like the invincible fountains made a difference? Did you notice?
Yeah, because I didn't like caring about it. There's already so little to care about in that match, yeah. Other than killing the Punisher or the enemy team. Mm-hmm. It felt like annoying strategy to be like, oh, I've got a zone for my fountain. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think it's great.
All right, some final news before we get to, that's right, next Jeopardy. Hold on to your pants, chat room. We got some fun coming up. Chew8 from Chew8, my hot doge, left his team. I hate the name of that team.
It got changed, but I like that we're still using the original one.
Chew8.
I don't know what the new one is. It's like Imperius's wings or something like that.
It's something with 8 still in the title.
If only there was a Heroes Esports site where we could look up this information.
I know.
Maybe we know. But...
if only. Oh,
it's Team8.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, Team8.
Really like hard Chew8. To remember Team8.
Really aiming high. We're the worst team out of 8. Yeah. Team8.
Chew8, ate my hot doge is my least favorite thing to say out loud. Anyway, he is one of the most well-known hero streamers, a big-time player, and most viewed hero streamer by far. He issued a statement indicating that his streaming was a priority over practice and conflicted with his teammates' desire to win, i.e. practice all the time. We could not agree on the level of commitment we want to make as a team, mostly because of me wanting to focus on my stream. Since some members of the team strongly expressed their pursuit of the HGC, it was clear to me that there were more complications here than I expected. I could have been a douche and just raked in the dough while forcing a bad practice schedule and toxic team environment, but that's not me. This is the best decision for all. And as a result, he cannot participate in any events or provide coaching at all in the HGC for 2017. So there you go. I don't know. Yeah. That's fine. So, I guess he's being upfront about it. I like that. It's good.
Yeah, this was a good thing and a tough decision, but it sort of underscores, like, it was interesting to see his involvement in the qualifiers because he is a personality. So it's fun to see your favorite personalities compete. Like you just suggested, I should go to the sign up button, for example, where I consider myself more of a hero's personality and definitely not a professional player, right? If I had to pick one of the two categories, put myself in that one.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting because I think it brings up the conversation a little bit about we're looking for our big streamers right now. Like, I think if you're someone out there who's very much interested in streaming and finding a game with room in it to grow, like Heroes is the game. There are big names like filling up in Overwatch and Hearthstone. That's a tough crowd. There's a lot of views there. If you look on Twitch, you know, it's like 2,000, 3,000 or more views for Chew8. And then you got Trickster and a few others in the hundreds. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And I think we're still looking for our big streaming personalities. And this was the first instance of someone in this game, this Blizzard property, I think making a firm decision to say that it's more financially viable for him to stream versus play in these pro competitions, which they don't pay a lot in salary, but have pretty big prize payouts this year. Mm-hmm. That's not something to turn your nose up at.
Yeah.
So very interesting. I just thought that was very interesting. And also, I just feel like there is a lot of opportunity for someone who for a streamer to become very successful here, because I don't think we have that many big champions. A lot of great people doing it, but I think the right person could bring the views in. So I just wanted to be encouraging to all the people who are streaming right now that there can be a viable career in it. I think there is, more than just for this individual. Yeah,
there's growth potential in the hero streaming world. That is for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. Ooh, look at this. I still have that dumb music. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to play Next Jeopardy with your host, Gorath Trebek.
Hello, I'm Gorath Trebek, known on the other side of the world as Gorath Trebek. And we're back. It's been a few weeks, boys. We haven't done any Next Jeopardy.
It's about time. I'm so excited. Yes.
Let's do it. All right. So listen, it wouldn't be Next Jeopardy if I wasn't changing up all the rules all the time.
Sure.
So stuff has changed incredibly in the past few weeks. Are you guys
ready? The game is now fair and fun.
Yeah. Fair and fun.
No.
Oh,
no.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
No.
Sorry.
Okay. So let me start with what's the same, just so you guys know. Okay. There's still three categories with three questions. You don't have to answer what is anymore. You can if you want. We're not going to be sticking to that rule.
Fantastic.
All right. Everything else has changed.
Okay.
So first.
Okay. That's first, changed, and so has everything else. Yep. Great.
So first big thing is now we're no longer doing money.
Okay.
Okay. You both have a core, just like in a Heroes game, with 20 HP.
Oh, jeez.
You're with me so far?
Yeah, it's been a rough game if we're down to that, but yeah, okay.
Yep. So instead of $100, $200, $300, the category escalation is now a merc camp, mm-hmm. a fort, or a keep, just like Elaine in Heroes of the Storm.
And eventually the core, right?
Right. So a merc camp does one core damage to your enemy's core. Fort does two damage to your enemy's core. A keep does three damage to your enemy core.
I like this already. All right.
All right. Making a lot of sense so far?
Yep.
Now, if you get an answer wrong, instead of you don't take core damage, you take HP damage because you can die in this game. Yes, that's right, folks. Their life is on the line when they play this game.
Wow.
All right.
You'll hear this sound when we die, by the way. So you're going to hear that when we die.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, my Lord.
All right. So everyone's with me so far. Yeah, there's another little concept in here. It's called map control.
Yeah.
So instead of buzzing in now, the person with map control gets to answer the question first. If he gets it wrong, then the other person loses map control. The other person gets to try and answer the question. Okay. And that's how we proceed. I'll keep track of it, so don't worry too much about that. But you guys are going to be picking heroes. Okay?
Okay.
And so it matters, because if you guys both use the abilities of your heroes at the same time, the person with map control gets to decide first.
Okay.
And we'll get to which heroes you're going to be in a second. Last thing. Next Jeopardy, we're going to try starting to play it on maps. Today's map is Blackheart's Bay. Meaning, if you have the choice of deciding what a question is, you can instead go pick up a coin. And what does that sound like, Scott? When you
pick up a coin, it goes like this.
That's right. All right. So you forego your chance to answer a question by picking up a coin. Only one player can choose to do this in a turn. So if John does it first, Scott, you can't go pick up a coin, but you can't answer a question.
All right.
Last thing is, instead of answering a question in Blackheart's Bay, you can turn in your coins if you have three of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And if you do that, you can do four core damage to the enemy core. And then a little sound will play.
You'll hear this.
That's right. Yeah. All right. So that's the game in a nutshell. We're just going to play it and see what happens. Finally, if you die, you miss a turn, plus an extra turn for every time you've died before that.
All right.
So if you died five times, you're missing six turns.
Okay.
All right.
Did you have an extra finger? Hold your hand up one more time. Put your hand up. Okay. It looked like he had six fingers for a second.
Oh, no, I do. I do. See?
Oh, yeah. See? That's what it looked like. I know what you're doing, but something something flickered on my video or something. I thought you had six appendages. All right, go ahead.
I have six appendages. All right, lastly, you guys got to pick a hero. The two heroes you get to pick from today are Varian or Thrall. All right, and so, Scott, do you want higher or lower today?
Chris Metzen is
the... Yeah, we're taking Chris Metzen as your choice. I'll take higher today.
So higher? Okay. So, John, you get to pick first. We rolled lower. It's a seven.
Okay.
So, do you want to be Varian or do you want to be Thrall?
Thrall, because he's an awesome horde character.
Very good. All right. So, Thrall has two. You get two abilities in the game. All right. You get Wind Fury. You can do four damage to an opponent and heal yourself for two HP. All right. It's got a 3-turn cooldown. Finally, you can cast Sundering. You can stun Scott, causing them to miss a turn and do 4 HP of damage to him. 5-turn cooldown. I'll keep track of the cooldowns. All right?
All right. I would like to use Wind Fury and do 4 damage to Scott.
We haven't started yet. All right. You get 8 HP. And the notes in our show notes, you'll see the reminders in there for what you need, what you can do. Scott, that means you're Varian.
Yes.
You have 2 abilities. You can parry. All right. And if you parry, you reduce all your damage taken this turn.
We will forge a great alliance. Okay.
Okay. 3-turn cooldown. And you have taunt. You can taunt John, causing him to miss his turn. Okay. But he does 4 damage to you.
Oh, okay.
Unless you use parry. All right. 4-turn cooldown. Those are your abilities.
All right.
And you get 12 HP. Okay. All right. Have we got all this under control?
I think everyone so.
I understand none of this. Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. I think I'll like all complicated things, it'll all make sense as we go.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So these are the rules, folks. If you haven't turned off the podcast yet, we're about to get started finally. Okay. So let's start with the category names. We have Bizarro team names in lane 1. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, this phase is called the laning phase, and the final Jeopardy is now replaced with team fight.
Okay.
Anyways. Okay. So lane 1, Bizarro team names. Lane 2, Battle Cry Babies. Lane 3, or the bot lane, is known as isometric cartography.
Okay.
So, John, you rolled first, so you get to pick the first category of questions.
I would like to do 4 damage to Scott.
Okay. By the way, it doesn't use up your turn using your abilities. So, he's bummer. Casting Sundering, or not Sundering, Wind Fury on you.
Nerve Thrall. Go ahead.
That's it. Yeah, he's taking 4 damage.
That's taking four damage?
Doing? You're not going to go... Or what am I supposed to do?
Well, you have parry and taunt.
Oh, I'll parry it. I'll parry it.
Okay, perfect. So, yep, it's parried. So now that's on a... Okay, so you guys should yell things or make it exciting. RP when you do it.
Okay. I'm going to be a green blob next time I die. I don't know what Thrall
would
say.
All right, perfect.
All right.
Okay, so that happened. John, you still get to pick a question or to do the quest.
Great. Now that I've done that, I'd like to answer some trivia. Let's do Bizarro team names, please.
Okay, Bizarro team names. And you have to do this in order, so we got to do the Merc Camp first.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
White Potatoes.
What are you looking for?
It's a like, bizarre
yes,
version
that's
of a
real... bizarre team name. I agree.
Remember, Bizarro team names, we've done this category before, is a weird version of a real Heroes Esports team name.
Oh, right. And kind of opposite, white, right?
Like, white Potatoes, yeah.
All right, White Potatoes.
Well, hold on, I'm looking through their website.
Wait, is he allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do that.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about how good their website is. I feel like we should make full use of it.
Sure, why not?
I don't know.
Okay, so you take 1 HP of damage because you got the answer wrong.
All right. Oh, all right.
So,
all right.
You get a chance to answer, yep.
Oh, I do get to. Okay.
You can go collect a coin. It's your choice.
I'm going to say...
You should get a coin.
Hold on. What? White Potatoes?
White Potatoes. It's a Bizarro team name. White Potatoes.
White Potatoes.
Sometimes called Potato White.
Potato White? Oh! Oh! The Korean team. Oh my gosh!
How long has he taken this Merc Camp for?
MVP, MVP Black.
All right, that's correct.
Okay.
So you've done 1 core damage to John's core. He's at 19 core.
Wait, what does potato have to do with MVP?
A potato is a pejorative term for a MOBA player who's terrible.
Oh,
and it's the opposite of an MVP.
Oh, okay. If
someone calls you a potato, it means you're so bad at the game, it's like you don't really have any brain activity.
I didn't know what that meant because I probably am one.
Okay.
All right.
Scott, you have map control, so you can choose to answer a question in a lane, or you can get a coin.
I'm going to sunder Scott.
He can't do that. Can you do that
Scott
now?
He can do it at any time. You can use your abilities at any time.
Oh, well, then I want to... Well, no, I'll take damage either way. Because I even if I so if I do my taunt thing,
so parry blocks all incoming damage for this turn.
Can I parry? And taunt, but I can't parry because parry a turn.
You have two charges of parry.
Oh, okay.
So you can parry if you wish.
Yeah, I'm gonna parry again. On a
sunder. Oh, by the way, you'll still get stunned. It just blocks damage. Right?
Yeah, I don't want any damage, so I'll parry. What happens if I get stunned now? What's that mean?
So your turn, you lose your turn.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, so you've parried, but you've not taken any damage. John, you heal back up to 8 HP.
Nice.
And your sundering is now on cooldown. Great. All right. Okay, so you now have map control.
Battle Cry Babies.
Battle Cry Babies. Okay, so Battle Cry Babies is a category where this is what the hero yells when he uses the heroic, and your task is to name the heroic.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
These cards aren't going anywhere.
Void and Kala as one.
Beep. Do I beep? Yep. Oh, wait, no, I don't, because Scott can't answer. Archon.
You can still beep.
You got it right.
Oh, yeah. Two damage. Shit. Oh, I got to take damage.
First, one damage. Sorry, one damage to Scott's score.
Am I supposed to go like that?
No, that's for the turn-in. But it fits.
All right.
So, John, you still have map control.
All right. Battle Cry Babies.
All right. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, Draggy. Do your thing.
Come on, what?
Come on, Draggy. Do your thing.
I think I know.
Water Dragon?
You're correct.
That's
two core damage. All right.
I was trying to think what dragons were in the game.
So, Scott, you still have a chance to use abilities, or you can pick up a coin if you like. So you're not stunned anymore. It's the next turn.
I'm going to go with... I'm going to get a coin.
Okay. One coin for Scott. All right. You still have map... you still have map control, John. Go ahead.
Battle Cry Babies.
Battle Cry Babies. The fort this time. Sorry, the keep.
Yeah.
Feel the wrath of the heavens.
What the hell?
Can we hear that one more time, please?
Do it again. Just
feel the wrath of the heavens.
The heavens.
Heavens. Okay, I'm going to have to listen to see if that inflection is right. What is it? Is it Heavenly Sword?
You're answering? Heavenly Sword? Incorrect. You take 3 HP of damage.
Crumbs. So wait, I would have taken damage even if I hadn't answered, though, right? So it's better to answer than to not answer?
Yeah, not answer will also harm you because the fort or the keep is shooting back at you. All right, Scott, you now have a chance to you can pick up a coin or answer this question. Feel the wrath of the heavens!
Can I pick up a coin?
Nope. Not now.
All right. I just want
to. I don't know this one either, so I'm going to pick up another coin. I have two coins.
All right,
pick
up a coin. The answer is Starfall to Rhonda.
Oh. Oh, all right. I'm surprised she didn't say, where's my husband? That's what it should
be. Yeah, if she had said something about husband or how her love is better than your love. And
Animal husbandry. Animal husbandry.
That's the one.
All right. Yeah, Parry is now off cooldown. You have one charge of it, Scott. And Wind Fury is now off cooldown. John? Okay, so, Scott, you have map control. What would you like to do?
I'm going to go... And are there limited questions in each lane? I guess there are, because there's the three things.
So all the Battle Cry Babies have been answered. We have a fort and keep for Bizarro team names and all the categories for isometric cartography.
Let's do... Three sounds scary, but I want to do
I'm hitting Scott with Wind Fury.
Shit. I'm parrying it.
Okay, parried. John, you recover 2 HP. You're back up to 7.
Whose turn is it?
And now Wind Fury is back on cooldown. Perry's back on cooldown.
Do I still get to pick a lane?
Yep, you're not stunned.
All right.
You can still go.
Isometric cartography, even though it sounds scary.
All right, Merc Camp. Three lanes, spider butts.
Oh.
What's the map? It's map names for this category.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Get my spider. Hold on. I have to just get my brain into it here. It's the... Oh, my gosh. This is so lame. I do that map all the time. Tomb of the Spider Queen.
That's correct.
Oh, my gosh.
You do one core damage to John's core.
All right.
He's at 18.
Okay.
All right, John, would you like to pick up a coin?
Since... Yeah, give me a coin. I would like
All right, you get a coin. All right, Scott, you still have map control. Pick your next question.
I see I don't get sound effects.
That's okay. Oh, did you get a coin?
I did.
So he has one coin, I have two?
Yeah, that's right.
I have three now.
Okay. John, you can pick a question now. You've got map control since he went to go get a coin.
Okay. How is there a way to stop him from turning in?
Sundering.
Okay. All right.
It's on cooldown still, though.
I'll do isometric cartography, please.
All right. Here's the fort. Three lanes, four altars, two buttholes.
I might have had an idea until you got the butthole, and now I'm just completely distracted.
I think Scott knows what it is.
Yeah, can you repeat the question, please?
Three lanes, four altars, two buttholes.
Towers of Doom.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Damn it. I was really hoping you were going to be confused about the buttholes.
Nope,
damage to Scott's core. All He's right. at 15.
All right.
Critical piece of information.
So, John, you have map control currently?
I'll do isometric cartography.
All right, here's the last one. Keep. Three lanes, three shrines, one big bastard.
Okay. Infernal shrines.
You're correct. That's three damage to Scott's core.
Damn it.
All right.
Should have taunted me.
Scott, you can do some map stuff since the question was answered correctly. You have three coins, enough to turn in and do damage to John's core.
How much damage does a coin turn into?
Four.
And can he block if I do it?
He could sunder you, except there's still two turns left on cooldown.
Oh, he's what? On cooldown. So, okay.
I did it the turn after the ability that's now been off cooldown for two turns.
What?
Your math is bad, Bo.
Wait a minute. I don't want to do this if he's going to sunder me, is what I'm getting at.
How many questions have we answered? One, two, three, four... 5, 6, 7. Oh yeah, it's off cooldown by now.
Oh.
John is right. I've been negligent by duty.
I guess
you have a parry charge again.
Alright, I'll do isometric cartography. Is the last one? Or are we already done with those?
Oh, there's only Bizarro team names.
Alright, do that one.
Alright. Cacophonious Calm or Cacophonous Calm. You want to pronounce cacophonious correctly.
Cacophonous Calm?
Cacophonous Calm.
Cacophonous Calm.
It's all about that cacophonous calm.
What? Cacophonous calm.
I'm going to grab a coin while Scott thinks.
You got to wait for him to answer or not.
Oh, all right, fine. Then I don't grab a coin, I guess.
You can zone for your coin.
I mean, if I don't answer, I get hurt either way, right? So I should answer.
Yep, that's right.
Tempo Storm?
You got it.
What? Boom. For real? Oh, my gosh. Wait, hold on. Let me think about that for a second. What's the cacophonous part?
Well, tempo is like it's a series of timings that have meaning.
Wow.
Cacophony is literally without meaning in chaos.
You're right. It's chaos. You're right. Okay. No,
this is a stretch. Right. I had to think about this one for an hour.
I got lucky.
An hour well spent.
I got lucky.
All right, John, you'd like to still pick up your coin?
Yeah. Give me that coin.
Okay.
All right. Perfect. Scott, you have control.
Oh,
there's only one category left under Bizarro Team Names.
Let's do that one then.
Okay. Bizarro Team Names. Arakoa Dunce Lords.
Arakoa Dunce Lords?
Yeah, I think that's how the bird people, that's what they're called, right? Arakoas?
It's Arakoa. A bird? I don't know.
Arakoa Dunce Lords.
Dunce Lords. That means they got to be like smart. And what's the opposite of a bird?
A fish.
It's Bizarro, not always opposite.
Okay.
There's no rules in Bizarro, but, it's usually pretty opposite. But there might not be an opposite for a bird, man.
Is it Bee Genius?
Bee Genius?
Yeah, Europe team, UK team.
That answer is incorrect.
Damn it.
Three health damage.
All right. I thought maybe like birds and the bees. So I was thinking bee, and then genius is the opposite of Nimrod or whatever your word was. What was your word?
Can I turn in my coins?
So you only have two coins, John.
Oh, can I get another coin?
You can get another coin. Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. So the answer to that question, by the way, was Murloc geniuses.
Oh, shit.
You have to admit. But they're not Murloc geniuses anymore. I guess that's
fine. You have to admit.
Well, at the time I made the question, the Temple Storm thing wasn't announced. So I wasn't
I'm going to the committee on this one.
There's no committee. It's an exit.
You got to admit, though, B Genius is a pretty good guess.
Yeah, it was close. I wanted to give it to you, Scott, but I couldn't. All right, so that's the end of the laning phase. We've answered all the questions.
Yeah.
Since this is the first time, it's very experimental. I'm just going to both let you turn in your coins.
Oh, do I have any right now?
I would like to sunder Scott to prevent him from doing so.
And I would like to block it with my parry.
Okay, you block it with your parry.
My Steve Perry, yes.
Yeah, and you get sundered. John, you get healed up for an HP.
And then I will turn in while he's stunned.
Okay, so you turn in and do 4 damage to his core. He now has 8 core health.
Okay.
But remember, I just said we're going to allow people a chance to turn in their coins before the team fight phase.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't have any coins. Do I have coins?
You have three coins.
I thought I turned them in already.
You were scared of getting sundered.
Oh, that's right. I didn't. Please turn in my 3 coins. Thank you.
All
right.
I want a Wind Fury him while he goes to turn in the coins.
Okay, you're getting Wind Fury, Scott.
Turning in my coins. All right, I got Wind Furied. All right.
Yep. And you have a parry up.
I parried that Wind Fury.
All right. Parry successful. So you take no damage, and John's healed back to maximum.
All right.
All right. Time for the team fight phase. This is where things get different and exciting. So basically, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to say a thing. I'm going to ask you to name something. You're each going to answer, and then I'm going to confirm. You answer at the same time. I'm going to confirm it's correct. You get a right answer, you do 1 damage to the core, or you take 1 health damage.
Okay.
I'm going to keep repeating it until you can't get any more. Then we're going to escalate and do 2 and 3 and 4. All right, here we go.
Lord.
All right, here we go. So, name a talent that provides or increases health regeneration.
Plasma shield.
That's lifesteal. Incorrect. 1 HP damage. Although, John, you need to answer. What? And these answers need to be quick.
Well, I didn't know. I was quiet. I was too slow. I have to think about my answers.
But it gives me regen, though. Doesn't it?
It does. It's lifesteal. That's not regeneration.
Oh, right. And I have to attack to get it. Can I keep answering?
Go ahead. John's taking too long.
Oh, we're still going, so I can.
You answer
still
at
throw...
the same. You answer at the same time. It's team fight.
I didn't answer. I had no answer. My answer was silence because I can't think of things quick.
Scott, do you have anything?
Can we say whose it is, but don't
regeneration
know the name?
Master? There's my answer. Very late. All right.
Boom! You do 1 damage to Scott's thing.
Shit.
If I don't get answers, I escalate to the next question.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right. We're escalating to now it's 2 core damage per correct answer. Name a character with a stealth mechanic or talent that isn't a trait.
Zeratul. Oh, crap.
He's a talent for sure.
So you have to name the character. It just can't be the trait. It has a stealth talent. Samuro's correct. You do 1 core damage to Scott.
Oh, but what?
Two.
Frick!
Gotta be quick.
I'm bad at this game. I can't think of anything else. That was going to be my one. I was trying to think of the name of the talent. He didn't have to have that?
No, we just need the hero name.
See, I screwed that up.
Are we going to the next one? How does this work?
Hold on.
Does Scott still have to answer?
I still have to. I want to answer.
Scott, say Tassadar and let us move on.
Tassadar.
That is correct. So you do 2 core damage. To John's core. You guys can still keep answering.
Oh, so there's more to say. All right.
You keep answering until you run out of things to say.
Hammer.
Valeria. Right. Valera.
Grayman.
Okay, I have to confirm if they're correct. Yeah. All right. So, yes,
Hammer's
John.
Correct. So is Grayman.
Hammer's correct.
I'll confirm for you, both of them.
Jim Raynor. Jim Raynor.
Aranda.
Jim Raynor does not have one. You take 2 HP of damage.
Yes, he does. Muradin.
All right, so wait a second, guys. When someone says an answer, I've got to confirm whether it's correct or not. So, John, what was the last one you said?
I have said so far. I have said Sergeant Hammer, Greymane, Tyrande.
Okay, Greymane. I got to confirm if it's correct.
He has eyes in the dark.
That is, yep. And so you do two more damage to Scott's core. He has one left.
Muradin.
And Tyrande was the next one after that.
All right, Scott. Did you have one before that?
Muradin.
You got it. Yeah.
Oh, right. It wasn't before it though.
No, exactly. Muradin doesn't. Muradin doesn't have one.
Yeah, he does.
He can become invisible.
Oh, I thought you said a healing trait, a regen trait. Am I on the old
one?
No,
we moved on to name a character with a stealth mechanic. So you take 2 HP of damage.
And I'm dead. My core's gone.
So Scott or John, can you name anything else?
The Haka.
Yep, correct. Scott, you lose.
Although I am going to say, so after I said Tyrande knew I had won the game, I looked at the chat and I don't know. You may. It's up to you as the judge, but the Banshees do stealth.
The stealth mechanic or talent that isn't a trait. That is true.
Ah! All right,
I'll give it to Scott posthumously.
Okay.
So you end with six core HP. John would still be the winner. In the case, I want to validate Scott a little bit here, and that's correct.
Look, I just ran. I'm feeding now. I'm feeding. Pick up my coins. There you go.
My intent was to do a rapid fire team fight thing.
That's
I guess
hard.
It was a little chaotic, but
no. I like this format. I think this is fun.
But it's like the money thing was kind of weird. So now you guys have Chorus. It's more like a Heroes of the Storm thing.
Yeah.
Congratulations, John, on your victory.
It's gotten away from Jeopardy in a really smart way. I like this a lot. And in fact, we probably shouldn't call it Next Jeopardy anymore. Maybe we should call it
Heroes Trivia Brawl.
Yeah, or something cool. I don't know what. But be thinking about that. All right, everybody, there's that thing. Let's do this thing. All right, time for a quick email. We got an email here from Mitch is his name. He's from London, England, old London town. And he sent this email to core@heroesforyou.com, and he says this: Hi, I was listening to your ideas on how to show the armor and vulnerabilities better in Heroes and thought it might be an option to show them as additional modifiers on the damage numbers that pop up when you hit an enemy hero. So, for example, your auto attack would hit an enemy for 100 damage, but he had 25 armor. The scrolling battle damage numbers could show 75 and then in parentheses, negative 25. If the enemy was vulnerable instead, then it would show 125 or plus 25. That way, players who wanted to see this for themselves, and it wouldn't be so intrusive or too intrusive for those of us who don't read them. Big fan of the show. I make my girlfriend watch it, even though she doesn't play HOTS.
That's awful, dude.
Same thing they do to prisoners.
Yeah. Well, this is so. What he has a justification. He says, I don't even care, as it's kind of balances out all the crappy Netflix series I have to watch.
Oh, man. All right. You guys. Well,
best wishes from London, England, Mitch.
All right. Before I say anything more, let me just say I'm not the best at relationships. Compromise is very difficult for me, kind of selfish. So
yeah,
that's who this comment is coming from. But this sounds poopy that both of you have to watch things you don't want to because you like each other.
Well, yeah, if you're not careful.
But I get what it is. Yeah. It's compromise, and I have a hard time with stuff like that because my rational brain is like, why are we wasting our time doing things we don't want to do?
Yeah, but compromise can be tricky, but I can totally see it here. But if he's not careful, his girlfriend's going to make her own version of Brexit, if you know what I'm saying. So just be careful. She's out of there if you're not careful. If you really like her, watch your Netflix stuff. It's fine. I have to watch my wife's crappy stuff once in a while. Every once in a while, I'll sit down and watch one of her Hallmark movies and want to kill myself. So
I've watched plenty of So You Think You Could Dance.
Really?
Not because, I mean, they're great dancers and it's entertaining, but it's not what I choose. Oh, and The Bachelor. Ugh.
Good Lord, really? You watched The Bachelor? Yeah,
I'm kind of happy to be single right now. Can I think about that? That kind of sucks. I'm not going to lie. I'm sorry, man, but
it helped you not feel bad about not being in a current relationship. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Relationship status win is what I say. All right. Thanks for the email. core@heroesforyou.com is that email
I like
address.
That we didn't address the actual email.
Oh,
at
yeah,
all.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Entirely about his relationship.
Yeah, you're totally right. We didn't. So what do we think? I like the idea of additional information without it being too cluttered, and I think his idea has merit. Now, I may have read this originally as putting the parenthetical negative number or positive numbers in there, but he may be just saying when it was going to be 100, just show 75. And when it was going to be 125, or when it was going to be 100, show 125.
I think he means include the parentheses.
Okay. That's what I assumed the first read through, but I just wanted to make sure it wasn't just me and my eyeballs.
I think something is better than nothing, because that's kind of what we have right now. We don't really have much to show us to communicate. My only problem with this as a solution, and like I said, it's better than what we got, but it's showing it after the fact. So in other words, I do damage and then I get the information. In theory, you would want to be getting the information prior to doing damage.
Mm. Bo, what do you think?
I agree. For auto attacks, less critical. But for big cooldowns, like your Ring of Frost combo, you do the big thing and you see like -75%. I wouldn't have done this thing if I'd have known that in advance.
Yeah.
So John definitely has a pretty good point. Mm. Also, visual clutter. I feel like, so one of the things I noticed about Valera is actually when you get combo points, there's a little yellow text that pops up that says 1 CP, 2 CP. It's designed to tell you how many CP you have. I don't think I'm going to notice that very much when I play. I mean, I could be wrong, but they're very tiny numbers. So I just think this adds, this isn't like Diablo where you sort of have like this, it's almost like this love of seeing the numbers. You're like, oh, 14 million, baby, 15 million. Yeah. Like that's fun in Diablo, but in a MOBA, you kind of want the least amount of visual clutter. And that looks like clutter to me.
Yeah. And so,
it's a good idea, but I don't think it.
I'm going to definitely side on the, maybe it's an option you could enable or something, but I'm going to side on the side of it's going to make you too cautious. Like I'm going to be, like you said, with the Ring of Frost, if it went badly before, because the numbers showed it, we're like, well, I don't want to screw that up again. And you're going to be hesitant when the time's right. You're going to maybe get a little itchy trigger finger. Like you're not going to, I feel like that would affect the way I'd play. And I already have too many of those mental games in the game as it is. So I'm not sure I want one more. But it's a decent idea, Mitch. I think it's not bad. So go back and sit down and make your girlfriend watch you play that game and listen to us.
I bet you he was writing this on his iPad while he was supposed to be watching The Bachelor.
Yeah, I bet you're right. That actually makes a lot of sense.
He was second screening it. Makes sense to me, too. Heroes4U.com is the email. Core@heroes4u.com is the email address. Please use it liberally, and we'll read your emails right here on the show. It's going to do it for us, everybody. Again, live listeners, if you're here, hang around because we're about to pop in and play some heroes on the PTR. We're going to look at the custom game changes. Basically, what do they call it? What is it? Sandbox mode.
Custom games or sandbox mode?
Well, maybe, it says
You're right. Yeah.
You still go to custom games, and maybe this will change on release, but you go to custom games, and then on the Crow map, as in whose name escapes me at the moment for some reason. Why? What's the Crow map?
The Crow map. Oh my god, it's
Cursed Hollow.
Oh my god.
Crowtown.
The Crow map.
Crowtown, I like to call it. In Crowtown, it actually says right there Cursed Hollow and then parentheses sandbox mode or something. And so I think it's the only map that currently supports it, and I have no idea how it works yet because I haven't had a chance to try. So we're going to try that tonight. And if you're around and we are able to pull people into that, we will, and we'll all mess about together. So make sure your PTR is up to date and watch for that. Right after this, the stream will just roll over, and we will begin our play. Big thanks to everybody who listens to the show, both live and otherwise. We really, really appreciate it. If you want to check out more, go to heroes4u.com. The entire website's there, all our links, all our stuff. It's all right there. And if you want to join us in the game, /join Frog Pants. Until there's a clan system, hot damn, it's the best way to do it. We also have a Discord, lots of Heroes players in there. You can go to frogpants.com/Discord and join. And there is no weird hoops to jump through. Just freaking join and be nice or people will kick you. Core Heroes on Twitter, John_Jagger on Twitter. I'm Scott Johnson on Twitter. And Bo can be found at Bo Schwartz. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, and for John. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Does that help?
Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I'm gonna call that a glitch.